What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's January 20th, 2025. You know what that means? A brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. Streaming live on the ISC Sports Network, along with their Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, channel and YouTube channel, and the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page. Like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Do all those things if you haven't already. I'm Tanner Lee, Josh the J-Man Munt, joining me from an hour behind me over in the good state of Illinois. What's going on, J-Man?
What's the future like?
Pretty boring.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I'm good. We have reached the dog days of winter, officially, in my opinion. I don't think the wind chill got above 10 below today. And
it'll be worse tomorrow.
And I'm ready for spring already. So
yep, when you hit that time of year where you have to drip your faucet at night so your pipes don't freeze. That about does it.
I'm okay with snow. Like, I'm okay with the snow. It's these sort of temps that just kind of get me, because it's just it's painful to be outside.
So. Yep, especially even at times if you go outside, you're like, yeah, it's not too bad till the wind hits you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
brutal.
All right, I take that back.
It's pretty sad. On Friday, I walked out and I'm like, it's not that bad out. It's pretty nice out. And it was like 36 degrees.
I know. It felt like a heat wave the other day at 41.
Yeah. So, but I got some birdie bogey for you here tonight.
Oh, boy.
Joe Burrow became the third quarterback in the history of the NFL to throw 40 touchdown passes in a season and miss the playoffs. Can you name the other two quarterbacks to have done this?
Two more to throw 40 and miss the playoffs. Interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
So
no, I can't, but I'll try.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Good food, good cocktail, 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check out Arlington Public House.
Yeah, let's see what they had on tip over the weekend. They haven't posted since January 11th.
All right.
So I couldn't tell you what they had over the weekend. But like I said, casual atmosphere with upscale cuisine and cocktails. Check them out, 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. You can also call them at 574-223-7101, arlingtonpublichouse.com if you want to check out their menu. Can't go wrong with anything they got. And if you're a golfer, or even if you're not a golfer, and especially if you have kids, you want to do something entertaining around Rochester, they have simulators there at Arlington Public House. You can rent out and you can go play some golf. You can kick some soccer balls, throw some footballs. I think it's even got baseball capabilities, dodgeball, all types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So go check it out.
Yes, sir.
Pretty fun. So, well, J-Man, we got a big one tonight, not just a podcast, but a big football game going on in the college football world, the final game of the 2024 season. Got the college football playoff final, whatever you want to call it, national championship. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Ohio State's a 9-point favorite. What do you think going into this matchup?
I know you live in Indiana, so obviously you're hearing a lot. You're hearing a lot of hype. It seems like outside of Indiana, don't hear a whole lot. Or Ohio, for that matter, I guess. But for some reason, it just feels like it's one of the least hyped national championship games that I can remember in football. Maybe that's just because I've kind of tuned it out a little bit, and you have been forced to have it shoved down your throat for a week and a half now. But, I think 9.5 points is a pretty is a decent spread. Like, I think that's pretty accurate. I think Ohio State is 9 points better than Notre Dame, but hey, it only takes one game. You could lose 9 out of 10 times, but as long as you win that one game and it's the national title, then you win the national title. And I think Marcus Freeman obviously will have his guys ready to go. If you're not ready to go for this game, you're never going to be ready to go, and you should be kicked off the team. But Riley Leonard's got to play the best game of his career tonight, because they're going to have to score points, and I'm not sure that offense is capable of scoring points. And they need to control the ball, force some turnovers in order to have a shot. But Ohio State has weapons all over the field. I mean, they have a chance after tonight to have 2 1,000-yard receivers and 2 1,000-yard rushers on the same team, which is just unheard of, with a quarterback that I wouldn't say is all that better than Riley Leonard, if at all. So just takes one. They're going to have a lot of things go their way. Notre Dame to win this one, but a lot has gone their way since week two, really.
Yeah, they're going to have to get off to a hot start. Riley Leonard and the offense, for that matter, running backs included, and wide receivers, tight ends, can't make mistakes as far as turnovers. Got to hang on the ball. Can't have any forced throws in bad spots. Because I think Notre Dame's defense is good enough to keep them in the game for a while.
Yeah.
But like you said, if they get down 10 points, 14 points early, and have to start really airing it out, play catch up, that's not their game.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Like I mentioned last week, I mean, this is two programs that are two of the most popular college football programs all across the country, two of the most hated, two of the most historic. So, but yeah, I definitely, especially the last few days and obviously today, it seems like my social media has just been flooded with Notre Dame. Driving around Fort Wayne, you see a lot of Notre Dame stuff right now. billboards, etc. Definitely more than you saw of Purdue back in April when they were to face UConn. Now, I think part of that is when you think of the timing between the Final Four and the National Championship, it's a day in between.
Right.
Final Four is on Saturday, National Championship's on Monday. To where in football, they've had well over a week to get the marketing materials out, advertising, hype, etc. So, and Notre Dame's a more popular team in football than Purdue is in basketball. So, but it is interesting because Indiana is a basketball state.
Yeah, I was just about to say Indiana is a basketball state, but I think overall probably football is more universally liked. So maybe that has something to do with it too. And again, you barely have any, you know, I think I said it last week that it's the two schools that have the most fans that are not alums.
Absolutely.
And Notre Dame would be number one for sure. I mean, there's so many people. Obviously, it's tough to get into Notre Dame, all of that academically. But you'll see it all over. I mean, Chicagoland is packed with Notre Dame fans too. And I have not seen a single Notre Dame flag or anything in this area.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised by it because I would say Notre Dame football in these parts is more popular, definitely than Northwestern, but I would say it's more popular than University of Illinois football for sure. In this area. I mean, you're just as close to South Bend, if not a little closer than you are Champaign. You're not closer than Evanston, but I've been surprised. I haven't seen a ton of Notre Dame license plates or anything like that. I've seen more Purdue recently. It's kind of making me mad, but
well, good alumni base there in Chicago.
Very good alumni base. But I'm excited to watch about a half, and then I'll go to bed because I don't remember the last time I saw 0 seconds in the fourth quarter of a college football championship game.
At least they bumped it up. I think it was last year they bumped it up. I mean, by the end of this podcast, the game will be kicking off tonight. So, you know, it used to start close to 9 o'clock, it felt like. I remember
Eastern time,
Thankfully staying up for the Surgeons of Tua game and the overtime win for Alabama over Georgia. But I remember that one getting over real late. But it'll be interesting. I mean, this is the second time we've seen Notre Dame in our lifetime being a national championship game. We've seen them in the playoff before, but the only other time they reached the championship was 2012 season, 2013 national championship. They got blown out against Alabama, which the line for that game was only, I think, 9.5 to 10 points, which is pretty interesting looking back on it. I thought it would have been more because that Alabama team was stacked. And that Notre Dame team got awfully lucky 3 or 4 games that year, whereas this one didn't. This one lost to Northern Illinois, but besides that, up into the playoff, they cruise through everybody pretty easily. And then I'm trying to think how many times we've seen Ohio State. I think we mentioned it last week. We saw them beat Miami, lose to LSU, lose to Florida, and then beat
Oregon.
So this will be the fifth national championship. So, and the Big Ten, it could be back to back for them, which hasn't happened in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm sure the Big Ten was rooting hard for Penn State last week.
Yeah.
But obviously it didn't happen. But
That's why I guess you can't count out Notre Dame in this game, whereas you probably could back in 2013 because a lot of people count them out against Georgia, beat them pretty convincingly. Mm-hmm. I didn't count them out against Penn State. I actually picked them to beat Penn State. Yeah. But I still think that shocked a lot of people that they beat Penn State. With that said, who are you going with tonight and what's your score prediction?
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I am taking Ohio State. I hope the J-Man's Book of Prediction curse does not come to fruition because I'm rooting for Ohio State. But I'm taking Ohio State. I'm going to say, again, I think Notre Dame's defense keeps them in it, as you said. 24-13. I just don't think they'll be able to score enough points. J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
And he'll definitely be locked into this one. He's a big Irish football fan. And ironically, he's a big Ohio State basketball fan.
Yeah.
So, kind of interesting there. You don't meet too many Ohio State fans that like their basketball only.
No, that's a strange one.
Yep. But I am taking Ohio State as well. You know, Ohio State probably makes it in my top five least favorite college football teams, but they're definitely not one or two like Indiana and Notre Dame. So I already did my one time only rooting for Notre Dame, and it felt weird. So I'm taking Ohio State. I do think they are the better team overall. I mean, Notre Dame's got tons of NFL talent all over the field as well. I just think Ohio State's got a little too much. I think it'll be a pretty good game, taking Ohio State 33-20.
Okay. Higher score than what I'm thinking.
Yeah, a little bit. So we will see. And I told my wife, I said, be prepared. If Notre Dame wins, this is the worst. It could potentially be the worst sporting night of my life, in a way. I mean, I've seen the Broncos get absolutely crushed in the Super Bowl. That was pretty bad. Of course, Purdue lost national championship, which I was bummed, but I wasn't devastated. Because they lost to a team that was going to beat them more times than not. But I've never seen a team I cannot stand win a championship. I've seen the Chiefs. That's a little different.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen Indiana lose in the national championship in basketball. I've seen Notre Dame lose in the national championship in football. But I've never seen either of them win the national championship. Thankfully, I wasn't born in the 80s.
That would have been a miserable time. I don't know how your father did it, to be honest.
He talks about the – the 87-88 season where in a calendar year they both won championships. He said it was just awful.
That'd be brutal.
Roger Vogel said, let's hope so, followed by go Indy. Yeah,
big Notre Dame fan. So going back to that, I've hated the Patriots, but I wouldn't say I didn't know anyone that loved the Patriots. So it made it lesser. St. Louis Cardinals, though, I've seen them win twice, and it's not fun whatsoever. Yeah. Obviously, no college team I absolutely hate.
And, you know, if the Cardinals ever get going again and happen to win a World Series, it'll be worse for you even now than it used to be just because of your relation now.
Significantly worse. I don't hate San Francisco 49ers yet. I feel like
don't play them enough.
Don't play them enough. Dolphins beat them this year, right before Christmas too. So that was really good timing.
Yeah.
I was rooting for the Niners last year in the Super Bowl.
Because the Chiefs stuff is getting harder and harder. I mean, I say this all the time. I hated the Chiefs back before Mahomes was there, before they were even good.
Cool to hate.
But you know, the gaining popularity with the Taylor Swift stuff and that makes it more hard to stomach, I guess, than it was a couple of years ago. And I really don't know, push come to shove, if they happen to play the Raiders in the AFC Championship game, what I would do. I don't even want to think about that. Don't think I have to worry about that. But,
yeah,
you never know. Look at what the Commanders are doing. Didn't think they'd be one win away from the Super Bowl after last season. So
that's crazy. Yeah, all other playoff teams are 0-8 on the road, and they just happen to be 2-0. Two really hard places. Well, one really hard place to play. At least it has been this year. But
and Roger says, "Go Pack, go, God's team."
Yeah, I remember his man cave. He was all decked out in Reggie White stuff back in the day. So big Pack guy.
One of the best to ever do it.
Yep.
The Reverend Reggie White. So, yeah, Packers, tough end of their season, but I think they'll be just fine next year. Actually, it's been a tough end of the season for all the teams in the NFC North.
Yeah, best division in football, and they all get not a single one won a game in the playoffs.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough for Minnesota. Obviously, you win 14 games, you have to go on the road, and then your plans change, and you have to play in Arizona. I'm sure the Rams were so fired up for that one with everything going
on. Oh, yeah.
Play.
Yeah.
And then Sam Darnold takes 9 sacks. And
I can't do that.
The way his season ended, I don't know if I feel comfortable. Up until like week 16, I would have said, yeah, give Sam Darnold what he wants money-wise, bring him back. Since then, though, I'm not sure I feel comfortable enough giving him 100 mil like he'll probably want.
How about throwing a franchise tag on him?
That would be smart because who knows if McCarthy will be ready.
Right.
Physically. Franchise tag would probably be smart. See if he can replicate, and if he can't, then it's easy to just let him go.
But, yep. I think that's the smartest way to go.
I
think anything else is a gamble. Even just letting him go is a gamble.
So. Yeah, I agree. He could be a superstar. Packers, I'm not sold on Jordan Love at this point. I think he is a system quarterback with Matt LaFleur there. I mean, you saw what Malik Willis did when Love was out. And,
Roger. Roger says Detroit, Minnesota dislike Green Bay so much they didn't want to win the Lombardi. That's pretty good. Yeah. Never heard that one. That's pretty good.
That is good. Packers, I think, will be fine. They probably need some more weapons around Love. But great coach there. And then the Lions, you're going to lose both coordinators likely. Ben Johnson hired by the Chicago Bears today.
Good hire.
Very. I mean, I don't know if it'll work out, but it's on the surface, he was, I would say, the number one candidate heading into the offseason as far as head coaching candidates.
The Raiders thought they had him.
Yeah. I thought for sure the Bears were going to screw it up and hire Mike McCarthy or something like that.
Watch for McCarthy going to the Saints.
Which would make sense. Aaron Glenn, I know. I think the Jets won him. His defense in Detroit was – they had a ton of injuries at the end of the year.
Yes.
Given the benefit of that doubt, but they couldn't get a stop to save their life toward the end of the year.
No.
But, again, that doesn't always mean he's going to be a bad head coach, you know. I mean, he's going to hire coordinators and all that. If he's a leader of men, as a lot of teams want, then who cares if his defense wasn't very good. Could be a transition sort of year for Detroit. They had their great years. I think Jared Goff has cemented himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC. Have a great running game, especially with Jahmyr Gibbs on his rookie deal. Armon St. Brown, has he been paid yet?
Or is he? I have no idea.
I don't know what year he is. I don't know if he signed an extension yet or not. You have Laporta, who's a good tight end there. You have Hutchinson that'll be back. Kirby Joseph had 9 or 10 picks this year for him. You would think they'd be good again next year. So, but they definitely take a hit with Ben Johnson taking the head coaching job for the Chicago Bears.
Sure, sure, and it's tough. I mean, that's why, in my opinion, and maybe this changes now. Now I'm going to say this now with the college football playoff. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think the Super Bowl is the second hardest playoff format to win.
It's tough, yeah. I mean, you got to – mainly because you had to go through Kansas City for all these years in New England. But, yeah, it's tough, especially you have to – for the most part, I mean, the Commanders are kind of changing that narrative. But if you're not playing at home, you're going to have a difficult time even getting to the Super Bowl at this point. I know the Chiefs did it last year, went in 2 games on the road. They went 2 on the road last year. In Baltimore.
Yeah, Buffalo and Baltimore, right? Or they didn't play Buffalo, did they?
No, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
I think they did last year.
I remember them playing in Baltimore because Baltimore should have won it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Baseball with the new 7 or 6 teams in, I mean, you see teams like the Diamondbacks get there where they just got hot. But that usually is the most difficult, especially now with what the Dodgers.
Kansas City went into Buffalo and Baltimore last year.
I don't remember them going into Buffalo at all. Maybe at
27-24.
Yep. I do remember that because Jason Kelce was there and he took his shirt off and it was, he was wearing like Timberlands and he he jumped up like incredibly athletic. I remember that now. Yeah. Yeah, super. Obviously, winning any championship's hard. Winning two in a row is even more difficult, and we've seen it with the Chiefs and the UConn Huskies now. Mm-hmm. So I'm dreading the Kansas City game on Sunday because I dislike both of those teams so much.
No team in NFL history has ever three-peated. So,
and I would venture to say that this Chiefs team won't, but they've lost one game all year, and they have something there.
Yep. Something there. But a remarkable story with what Washington's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels, I mean, they had won four games last year. Number two, they had the number two selection in the NFL draft. Now they're one win away from going to the Super Bowl. And all they got to do is beat an opponent they're very familiar with, mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagles, who Eagles were pretty lucky to win yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I thought the Rams were going to get them at the end driving, but that false start killed the momentum the Rams had.
And then the center not blocking, you know, Carter. Yeah. That kind of hurt.
Yep. Yep. But Jalen Hurts is banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Saquon's playing the best football of his career right now.
Yeah.
But that's going to be interesting. But and then, you know, the AFC side, Chiefs got a scare for a little bit by the Texans. But in the end, Texans couldn't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Bear misses a field goal, missing an extra point. Dumb penalties by Houston. Maybe a beneficial flag or two by the refs. and Kansas City moves on. And then last night had a good game between Buffalo and Baltimore. At halftime, I thought Buffalo was going to cruise their way through the rest of the game. But Baltimore came out, punched them in the mouth the second half. Scored late. Unfortunately, Mark Andrews had a bad time to have the worst game probably of his career.
Yeah, the fumble he had changed things because it was 24-19. It would have been first down, you know, inside the Bills 45. And then it was just – and then they about came back and tied it, and then Mark Andrews dropped a wide-open two-point conversion.
Yep.
Wasn't a great throw by any stretch, but a throw he has to make that catch.
Yeah, and even if they convert that, I don't know if they could have stopped Josh Allen from getting the Bills in field goal range.
A minute 20 left or something
But that would have been interesting to watch. And you think Lamar starts to get any heat from the media now? I figured whoever lost that game out of Lamar and Josh Allen was going to start hearing some questions. Can they get over the hump?
I've been hearing Lamar criticism really starting last year. You can blame Mark Andrews all you want, and that's fair. However, Lamar threw a bad interception. He had a real bad fumble inside the Bills 35, botched the snap, and then instead of just taking off or something, tried to make a play and fumbled, and the Bills ran it all the way back to the Ravens 20. That sort of thing is going to start rearing its ugly head. I saw a comparison. Peyton Manning through first eight seasons or through first however many seasons Lamar has, and their record is the exact same in the postseason. And then finally Peyton broke through in year 8 or 9, I think, where he finally was able to get to a Super Bowl, and he obviously won it. And maybe Lamar's on that same trek. Did Zay Flowers play yesterday?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either. They missed him. Obviously, Derrick Henry's a stud, but I didn't think he was that great yesterday. No. That has a lot to do with the Bills' defense as well.
Yep.
It feels like the Bills, in my opinion, are them in Washington are the teams of destiny in their respective leagues, and they'll probably both get beat on Sunday.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting storylines going in. You got, I mean, even the Eagles are interesting because Sirianni, a lot of people want him fired after the way the season ended last year.
And how it started, too. Remember, they were
They started slow out of the gates this year and then got hot. And now he finds himself one win away from going back to his second Super Bowl in 3 years. Yeah. And we could potentially have a rematch from Super Bowl 2 years ago, Eagles, Chiefs. I don't want that at all. That'd be so boring. Yeah. If the Chiefs have to make it, give me Washington against them just for something different.
Yeah.
But a lot of the country outside of AFC East fans that aren't fans of the Bills will be rooting for the Bills just because, they had four shots at it in the 90s, but it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything since.
Should Washington win and the Bills win, it'll be a rematch of the Super Bowl on the day I was born.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Maybe it's meant to be.
I hope not.
Well, it's just hard for me to stomach, and you probably, and a lot of the listeners here on the pod, that the Chiefs have made 7 straight AFC championships, 6 of those being at home.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. That's better than the New England's run there.
Yeah. New England was in 8 straight.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
On the tweeter yesterday.
I figured the year that Castle ripped his knee, or that Castle had to come in from Brady's knee, might have ruined that.
I think they started it the next year.
Okay. Okay. Through the end of Brady's tenure then? Up to the last year, because they lost to Tennessee.
They lost to Tennessee, Brady's last year there.
I
saw it was 8. But, yeah, this Kansas City dynasty is becoming as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it happened at first, obviously you hated it because you're in the same division. But, like, all right, some new blood.
New blood, yeah. You're
hoping some other teams would step up as well. But here we are, you know, 6 years later now, and they've won 3 Super Bowls. It's just ridiculous.
Like we talked about last week, it's not due to the AFC not having tough teams or good quarterbacks.
I know.
Compared to the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills need to get over that hump eventually. Baltimore has to as well. And then, I mean, you have – those are really the 2 teams. Cincinnati, too. I mean, Cincinnati has all this hype every year, and every year it seems like they're underwhelming.
No, they got to win game in September. You can't wait to get hot. So
yeah, okay, yeah. Games in September count the same as they do in December. So
yep,
that's been a frustrating part, I'm sure, for Cincinnati.
Sure.
Past couple of years, because it kept them out of the playoffs this year, and they were hot too. Hot heading into the playoffs.
Yes, they were.
I'm sure the rest of the NFL is very grateful that the Broncos won against the whoever they played, Kansas City.
The Kansas City's backups. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who you got coming out of the NFC, Eagles or Commanders?
I'm rooting for Washington. But I think the Eagles ultimately win at home. I think they can, even with Hurts banged up. I think Saquon can run all over that defense. But again, Washington feels like a team of destiny, and I'm sure majority of the country will be rooting for Washington in that one.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll be rooting for Washington, but I think the Eagles ultimately win.
Yeah.
But still, it's amazing what good ownership and good management can do for a franchise. You go from arguably the worst owner in sports at the time, Dan Snyder, get a guy in who cares, get some good personnel in, hit on a draft pick, boom.
Yeah, Dan Quinn was the hire of the offseason for sure.
Yes, it was. He was passed up by many teams the last few years.
He had the stink, the smell of the 28-3 still on him. And I'm glad he's broken through that. And the upstart Washington team, who has like 80 mil worth of cap space. You would assume they'll be very good next year too.
Yep. Yeah, that will be an attractive destination, I think, for free agents going to play with a young superstar quarterback.
Yeah, they need a new stadium.
Yeah,
their last thing they need to accomplish is a new stadium.
And then the AFC, Chiefs get it done again, or do the Bills go in there and knock them off?
I think the Bills are significantly better. I think the Chiefs have flirted with disaster all season, and I think it catches up with them. And I will be rooting for Kansas City. I'll go on record and say I'm rooting for Kansas City. Because I cannot stand the Bills, and I do not want them to be in a Super Bowl, because I think if they get there, they win it, and I don't want that to happen.
Sure, I get it.
But at the same time, I think the Bills just feel like a team that it's their time to do it, and I think they unfortunately get there.
If you had to put in order your least favorite AFC East teams, where do they rank?
Dolphins are number 1 at this point. Can't stand them.
Like currently right now, because I know that can fluctuate over the years.
Jets, Bills, Patriots.
Okay.
I hate the Jets a lot more than I hate the Bills. Josh Allen's, for the most part, a likable guy, which cannot be the same, or cannot say the same for Patrick Mahomes, for that matter. Yeah, Bills would be right in between. I never hated New England as much as I probably should have, mainly because they just kicked Dolphins' tail every single year, and it didn't matter because Dolphins stunk. And so now the Dolphins are halfway competitive. They can't beat the Bills at all, and it's exhausting.
So New England's to you what the Chargers are.
Yeah. I would say hate them, but like, hate that they hired Mike Vrabel for sure.
Sure.
And I'm scared he'll have them ready, you know, to compete game one. And I think all of us have liked them being terrible the past couple of years.
Yeah. It's been nice.
Refreshing.
That city between the four major sports always has so much success.
Yeah.
It's nice to see them at least knock down a peg a little bit. Yeah.
Now, of course, they stink and the Celtics win a title.
Right.
Red Sox are probably next. Bruins probably after that.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. The college teams around there aren't very good. So.
Yeah. The Northeast doesn't seem like a big college sports area anyway.
Except UConn, I guess.
UConn, I guess, is the one outlier. I guess people love their Providence basketball too.
Up way up Northeast Syracuse at one time, but man, they've fallen off the face of the earth. But I am taking the Bills as well. I forgot to throw out my pick there. I might have to break out my old Broncos Von Miller jersey to wear, especially if they make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he ran pretty good. He's the one that picked up that fumble, right? I thought he was going to fumble towards the end because
he still gets in there. He doesn't get the sacks like he used to, but he gets a lot of quarterback hits.
Yeah.
He still gets in there with pressure at his age. So still a dumb contract they gave him.
Yeah.
But the Bronco fan in me will always love Von Miller.
Wasn't he like – he majored in like – I know he didn't major in chickens, but like he was a big –
chicken poultry. It was poultry farm. Poultry farming. Yeah. He has a chicken farm at his house.
Yeah. I remember him being
poultry science. Big poultry science, chicken. I think. Yeah, oh yeah. He loves himself some chickens. My dad always said he liked goats, but you know.
Yeah. I remember.
That's a rabbit hole for another day. So anything else about the NFL playoffs or NFL coaching carousel or anything you want to hit on?
I think now that it's maybe next week it'll be more since they're a week in between, you'll see more hirings. But now guys like obviously Ben Johnson can be announced, Aaron Glenn can be announced at any time, obviously McCarthy. I don't know if any team left has a candidate as far as coordinator goes.
I haven't heard anybody sniff around Cliff Kingsbury. So
Bears did, but now that they've hired. But other than the Bears, I hadn't heard him for anyone.
I heard Skaggs' name out there. I thought maybe for the Jets. Davis coordinator for Kansas City?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd love for somebody to take him away from Kansas City.
Yeah.
But somebody get Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator, out of Kansas City, please. Please.
Yeah, they have
God, that guy's good.
Yeah.
So, now the Broncos are looking for a new special team coordinator. They fired theirs. So
the Dolphins, which very justified.
Yeah, I thought the Broncos special teams was pretty good this year, but I guess the way they lost at Kansas City and lost at L.A. left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So.
Yeah, Dolphins special teams have been bottom five in the NFL since the Schmohawk who was there. I can't even remember his name now. He got fired, though, luckily.
Yeah, usually you don't know special team coordinator names very often.
It's good if you don't know them.
Yeah, unless
it's bad if you do.
Really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Got a comment. I shared our stream on my Facebook. Got a comment from my old fifth grade teacher, Mr. Paul Helster, said, "Go Ohio State Buckeyes."
Yeah.
One of the biggest Buckeye fans I know. So
I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I had to wear a Ohio State sweatshirt in fifth grade from the Holy Buckeye game. Craig Krenzel game. We made a bet. A sweatshirt bet, and I lost, so I had to wear a Ohio State sweatshirt.
Was that Craig Kenzel to Michael Jenkins.
Yep.
My life would be a lot easier if I would have just been an Ohio State fan.
Yeah.
Born
there's right a lot of school you can say that out.
And, wasn't Ohio State fan.
Still rather be a Cub fan than a Guardian fan, a Dolphin fan than a Brown fan, though.
That is very true. Or a Bengal fan, for that matter. They haven't won anything either.
Yeah. Cavs. Cavs did win a title. But
I couldn't care less about the NBA.
Yeah. Until the Sonics come back.
I think if the Bulls were good, though, like, you know, potential NBA title contender.
They're not going to be.
They're not even on TV here anymore now that Reinsdorf did his old TV deal.
Yep. But you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's pull up sporting events that have happened on this day on January 20th. I better pull up the lower third here, too. On this day in 1952, the NBA's first superstar, according to honestday.com, George Mikan scored a career-high 61 points, leading the Minneapolis Lakers to a 91-81 double overtime victory over the Rochester Royals.
Yeah, I think George Mikan was on the list last week, too.
He was. On this day, 1968, the Houston Cougars defeated the UCLA Bruins 71-69 to win basketball's Game of the Century and end UCLA's 47-game winning streak.
Game of the Century, huh?
But didn't Notre Dame snap UCLA's, like, stupid winning streak?
I want to say.
Didn't they have 80-some in a row or something? Yeah. Austin Carr and Notre Dame beat them.
Carr, yeah.
During Wooden's run when they won, like, a million titles in a row.
Yeah.
That would have been so boring to watch every year when UCLA just running over everybody.
I heard a funny story about John Wooden the other day. Mark Harmon, who's an actor, he's been on a bunch of TV shows and stuff, movies. He was a quarterback at UCLA in the late 60s, early 70s, and he would – the locker room was like across from Pauley Pavilion, and he'd always go into Pauley and put like his – shoes on and stuff to head to the practice football field, and Bill Walton would be in there, you know, doing drills or whatever, just being Bill Walton. John Wooden would be standing there, and all he'd say to him, he'd walk by him, wouldn't even make eye contact, and he'd tell him, get a haircut.
They didn't get along very well.
Get a haircut.
They learned to appreciate each other afterwards, of course. Yeah. But
you win a few titles, and
helps things. On this day, 1970, the 20th NBA All-Star Game was held at the Spectrum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The East beat the West 142-135. Who was the MVP?
What year was that?
1970.
Elgin Baylor.
Good guess. Willis Reed for the New York Knicks. I got some Pro Bowl stuff. On this day, 1980, who won the Super Bowl?
1980?
I forget what this Super Bowl was. That 14, I think. 14, if I'm reading my numerical rules correctly. I hope I am.
Redskins beating the Dolphins in 82. I'm going to go Washington again.
Steelers over the LA Rams. 31-19, Terry Bradshaw, Super Bowl MVP. On this day in 1980 as well, the U.S. President Jimmy Carter announced the U.S. boycott of the Winter Olympics in Moscow after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Huh? On this day, 1985, who won the Super Bowl?
That would be the San Francisco 49ers.
They beat the Dolphins 38-16. Joe Montana, MVP. Knew you'd get that one.
Yep.
On this day, 1989, Pittsburgh Penguins center Mario Lemieux became just the second player in NHL history to score 50 goals in less than 50 games. Goal number 50 came in the 44th game of the season as the Penguins lost 7-3 to the Winnipeg Jets. On this day, 1991, who won the AFC Championship and who won the NFC Championship?
91? I would assume the Bills won the AFC.
Bills won the AFC by the small score of 51-3 over the Raiders.
Was that the New York Giants?
You got it. The Giants beat the 49ers 15-13.
And that was the wide right year?
Yep. Yeah. I believe you're right. Wednesday in 2007, Utah Jazz coach Jerry Sloan passed Larry Brown for fourth on the NBA's all-time win list with his 1,010th win after the Jazz beat the Bulls 95-85 at the United Center. All right, now we got some more AFC NFC real quick. On this day in 2008, who won the AFC and NFC?
2008, that was... 2009 was Pittsburgh, Arizona. Who was the year before that? Colts and Bears were 07. 2008. Why am I blanking on 2008? Just give it to me. I have nothing.
Patriots beat the Chargers 21-12. That was Phillip Rivers playing on a torn ACL. And the Giants beat the Packers 23-20 in overtime. Geez. David Tyree caught the ball in the Super Bowl.
I was thinking 07 the whole time, but it was 07 season, even though I said 07 Super Bowl was Bears and Madden.
On this day in 2013, who won the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship?
2013, that was the Ravens-Niners, right?
Yep, Ravens beat the Patriots 28-13. I still hate talking about that year. And the Niners beat the Falcons 28-24.
Yeah.
Both road teams winning that day. And in 2019, on this day, who won the AFC and the NFC?
AFC, that would have been the... Chiefs?
Patriots beat the Chiefs 37-31 in overtime.
That's right. And they would have ended up beating the LA Rams.
Rams beat the Saints 26-23 in overtime, one of the worst no calls in sports history.
Yeah, and it ended up being one of the boringest Super Bowls in NFL history.
Yep.
I think it was 13-3 was the final score.
Yeah, I remember watching that with you, and we're like, this is terrible.
It ended up getting Brian Flores the Dolphins head coaching job that game.
There you go.
Yeah.
And on this day in 2021, Dan Campbell was appointed head coach of the Detroit Lions. And that'll do it for this week's On This Day list, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram or on Facebook at Moody Woodcrafts is their handle on there. And if you let them know the Tan and Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So get your sign orders in. They make a great gift for any occasion. And now let's get into our next five of our our 25 bold predictions for 2025. And I'm going to let my dog in my office because he is driving me nuts.
My first bold prediction, I think a quarter of the Big Ten gets to the Sweet 16 this year. Or a quarter of the teams in the Sweet 16 are Big Ten teams. I screwed that up. So I think it's Illinois, Michigan. I screwed up my wording. A quarter of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16 are Big Ten teams. So four of them. You are muted, so I cannot hear you.
There wow, I said wow, wow.
I think the four teams that are best set up to go to the Sweet 16 are Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, and I'm going to throw Michigan in there.
Michigan State, huh?
Not a believer. Not a believer. I just don't think they have the offense. I know they won yesterday, and I don't even want to think about that game anymore.
Need to get my high knees up. Need to get my knees up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not a believer in Michigan State, and I don't even think they're going to finish top four in the league.
All right.
Big win for them yesterday, 8-on-5 all game long. And it's easy, and they still about lost. Should have lost, honestly.
That's the reason I was rooting for them, J-Man. I wanted Illinois to get their third conference loss because I think they're much better than Michigan State is.
Yeah, Illinois at 6-2, I think would have been scary for a lot of teams.
Sure.
But now,
there's a lot of season left.
They'll be favored in like their next eight, likely. So,
if I could sign on a dotted line to get Purdue in the Sweet 16 right now, sign me up. Especially if they're a top three seed, being that Indianapolis is a regional host.
Right.
I would love that. And I think you can agree with me here when I'm saying, you know, we were just talking about Big Ten standings a little bit. As I get older, I realize, I mean, I know conference championships aren't Final Fours or national titles, but still, you want something to hang your hat on for the season. Yeah. You know, I don't want pretty well, not only do I want them to three-peat, of course, but I don't want it to be like three seasons ago where they had a very good team, Jaden Ivey, Travion Williams, and those guys, but they had nothing to show for it. No Big Ten title, no Big Ten tournament title, and a bounce by a 15 seed in Sweet 16.
Yeah. No one even talks about that team anymore. I kind of
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
We were both lucky last year. Purdue won regular season. Illinois wins the tournament.
And both make deep runs.
Both made deep runs. So it is nice to get one of those two, either regular season or a tourney champ, just to have something. So I'm with you.
Well, my first one is Big Ten basketball related as well. I said the Big Ten will have one team make the Final Four.
That's a good lead into my next one. I think Illinois makes their first Final Four since 2005.
As you put it out to the universe now.
I know.
So your bold predictions for the year. Illinois football making the playoffs. Illinois basketball making the Final Four.
I think this Illinois team's built for March, and I think they get, you know, I mean, obviously, Yakachonis missed two games. He loses to USC. Fouls out in 8 minutes yesterday. And they almost went in Michigan State, and they lose by two. I just feel, for whatever reason, this is the highest I've been on an Illinois team in years. I just think they have so much that can turn around for them. Obviously, they're having a good season anyway. The crazy thing is they win their next two. They'll be 15-5. And through 20 games each of the last five seasons, they have been 15-5, 15-5, 14-6, 15-5, and 15-5. So remarkably consistent through 20 games. And I just think KJ is built for March. And I think having the two European guys who, you know, have played in professional leagues in front of crazy fans and high stakes and all that, I don't think playing in an NCAA tournament will affect them as much. And unfortunately, I put it out there in the universe. I agree with you. I think one Big Ten team kind of surprises and makes the Final Four, honestly.
I agree with a lot of you said. I mean, Illinois is so talented across the board. They're very dangerous. I think for them to make a Final Four or a championship, they need to get a top three seed.
Yeah, definitely.
The 4-5, I mean, yeah, you could definitely beat a one seed in Sweet 16, but if you can stay away from the one seed as long as possible, that's ideal.
I'd much, much rather be a six seed than a four, you know?
Especially if you got like a one seed of Auburn.
Yeah.
Or somebody like that.
Yeah, Auburn's tough. Definitely. And right now I think Lenardi has them as a three. At least he did coming into yesterday, and I can't imagine they dropped too much. Definitely need to be – you don't want to have to face a one until the eight, you know, until the Elite Eight. So,
sorry, I froze there for a little bit. So
that's all right.
I think I'm back there.
I wasn't saying anything interesting.
It's me up next, right?
Yep, number two.
Victor Hovland will win the Masters. Golfer that's still relatively young, and he hasn't won a major. I think he's knocking on the door. I want to go with somebody that's up there in the top 10 of the favorites, but not like a Rory, for instance. So I think Victor gets it done.
Yeah. Another college basketball one here. I think we have a first time national title winner. Whether that's Auburn or maybe even in Iowa State. I know they had a rough one in West Virginia over the weekend. I feel like we have a team that will win their first one ever. And once Auburn gets their best player back, I think they're winning without him. So
yeah, they're good. They're really good.
You saw them firsthand against Purdue in the neutral court, and they were awfully impressive.
Yep, that's a good one. My next three are all college football related. 2025 will be Deion Sanders' last season at Colorado.
Okay.
I think he returns. I don't think he gets the Dallas job. But then I don't think the year goes quite as well as last few. And then I don't know what comes along. I don't know if it's Florida State. I don't know if it's an NFL opportunity. But I think 1 year not coaching his sons out there, he's done.
Yeah, I agree. I think we see one prominent college basketball coach step down again. I mean, we've seen Jay Wright and Tony Bennett. In this one, this is not part of my bold prediction, but I would not be surprised if we hear Bill Self's name as the guy that steps down. I don't think this Kansas team is very good. They came into the year ranked number one, didn't they, or close to it?
Yes, yes.
And
2 years in a row.
Yeah, and they struggled last year and ended up getting beat in the round of 32. They're not looking all that impressive this year. I mean, Hunter Dickinson's getting paid a ton of money, and he just hasn't been as good as he was his freshman or sophomore year at Michigan. So it wouldn't surprise me to see a team or a coach of a team that's been perennially, you know, top 20 program over the past five seasons step down, whether that's a Bill Self or somebody else.
I like that prediction. I could see Izzo maybe retiring.
Izzo for sure, yeah.
Calipari, it's not going well.
Out of there.
He's lost
awesome.
It. He's lost it. He's absolutely lost it.
Yeah.
So. My next one, Alabama will fire Kalen DeBoer after the 2025 season.
Ruthless.
I think they missed the playoff again. Even if they go 9-3, 8-4, that's not good enough. 2 years, you're done.
Yeah, I think it's playoff or bust for him next year. My last one here, another college basketball one. IU fires Woody, and for some reason, they have this thing where we got to get an Indiana guy, And they did it with Mike Woodson. It's been a disaster. I think now is the time Steve Alford comes home and they hire Steve Alford. I'm not saying that'll be good, not saying it'll be bad. I just think now's if they haven't done it yet, why not now?
Yeah, I think he's at the perfect place for him now. Maybe. I think he's a better coach at this level.
I could
see it. They'll swing at Brad Stevens. They'll try to bring the Brink trucks to Nate Oates, Bruce Pearl, guys like that. They need to, and you know, I'd be fine with them being mediocre to bad the rest of my life. But in all honesty, if I'm an Indiana fan, which I'm not, what they need to do is get someone like you said about Purdue football, somebody who's not going to the press conference, just a good coach at the end of the day.
Kind of like they did in football. I mean, Sigs has some quotable things, but
he does. I mean, assuming Woodson gets fired next year, they'll be on their sixth head coach since Purdue hired Matt Painter.
That's crazy.
Fourth in a decade.
Nate Oates or Bruce Pearl would scare me to death because I think both of those guys are really good coaches. Scott Drew wouldn't do a whole lot for me. Brad Stevens hated recruiting and all that game back in 2012. They think he's going to magically like it now?
Yeah.
It might be more like the NBA now.
And he's been out of coaching for a while.
Long time. And he's got a pretty sweet gig there as GM, president, whatever he is at the Celtics. I mean, they just want to
doing
title.
Pretty good at it, too. Yeah.
Pretty dang good at it. So I think that's a pipe dream. But those other guys I could see. I don't think Indiana has the lore it used to.
They missed the opportunity to get Dusty May.
And I'm thankful for that, too. So
unless you would jump in conference, I guess, which could always happen nowadays. And Mark Few, I think the ship sailed for anybody to get him.
They're looking rough now. I don't know if they're going to make the tourney at this point.
They lost the home conference game. That doesn't happen.
Santa Clara, and they got beat by Oregon State last week as well. That's a talented roster, too. I don't know what's going on there.
And my last one, someone from the Big Ten will win the 2025 season college football playoff. So if Ohio State wins tonight, I have the Big Ten going for a three-peat. How mad would the SEC be at that? How much money would start flowing down Tuscaloosa, Baton Rouge, and Austin if that? It's not about facilities anymore. It's just about cash.
It's going to be Indiana, too. You know that, right? They're going to be the one that wins it to make the three-peat.
I just want them to go back. I'm fine if they win eight games. Just go back to being.
No, Notre Dame's going to win this year. IU's going to win next year.
You'll be looking for new co-hosts because I just won't be here.
Woody's going to get things turned around. They're going to win a title this year, too.
That 1-point overtime win against Ohio State's going to get them going.
Actually
might get them on a little win streak, though.
I'll give them credit, though, because they lose by 25 in Iowa. Come home, look so disinterested. Of course, Illinois punched him in the mouth early. And I said, I will give myself credit. On Monday, I said, after Illinois lost to USC and looked just listless and all that, like I said, I would not want to be Indiana on Tuesday. Sure enough, Illinois gets up 20 early, and IU gave up. The only fight they showed was when Omar Ballo came in with a little push there at the end. But I'll give him credit for sticking together, and I think Woody showed incredible leadership, and he deserves at least a 3-year extension.
I say build him a statue.
Build him a statue. Lifetime.
Start on him now. Start on him now.
Check. Keep him there forever. So.
this week's portion of the bowl predictions was the toughest one yet. So we got 2 more weeks of this.
I was thinking about my next 10 today, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it might be time for me to pull Indy 500 out next week or something.
Well, I'll say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a little cricket research and pull out.
There we go. I like it. Now we're getting creative.
Yeah.
We got just a few minutes left. Let's talk a little hoops before we get to the end of the show. Mentioned earlier, your line, I took a tough one yesterday up at the Bredesen Center. Good game. Back and forth game. Good.
That's the hardest I've taken a regular season loss in 10 years.
I could tell. And I don't blame you. And I about said, this is terrible thing about college basketball.
I was mad. They didn't play that well, to be honest. But then you see their best player fouls out in 8 minutes. 12% of the fouls he's been called for all season were yesterday.
Wow.
Couple of them were legit. The fifth foul was definitely a foul. Like, he needed to be smarter.
Yeah.
The fourth foul was an absolute joke. He got pushed to the ground. And
I don't know what angle that dude saw on that fourth one.
The goofy long neck Cooper stumbled over his own feet, and KJ gets called for the foul. The third one, coin flip. Aiken stepped on KJ's foot. Whatever. I would have liked to see if KJ didn't pick up his fifth, what would have happened? Because they were down 7. He comes in, immediate and one, immediate stop, immediate assist. They're down 2.
Right.
And then he fouls out. So their offense didn't flow very well without him, didn't shoot the ball well at all yesterday. But a lot of that's because KJ wasn't on the court to give guys open looks either. So they were just jacking stuff up. Trey White played bad. It was a perfect storm of suck yesterday.
Yeah, now Michigan State's still undefeated in the conference. I mean, got a lot long road ahead.
But
they're leading it. They're up to top 10 now. They're ranked 8th, I believe. Mm-hmm. My Boilermakers rose from 17 to 11, swept their West Coast. Thank goodness. Played absolutely horrendous. The first half against Washington, we're down 8.5. I about turned it off, went to bed. Cranked it up defensively in the second half. They've played actually really good defense. I don't know really what flipped the switch. Maybe actually inserting Caleb first has really helped. I never thought I'd say that, but they beat Washington, and Braden Smith, Trey Coppenheim were doing whatever they wanted. Fletcher Lawyer hits big shots down stretch. Then Oregon, it was an ugly game. Nobody could really shoot well on either side, but Purdue just stuck with it. Trey Kaufman couldn't make a basket for the longest time, but he made 9 for 9 free throws. Wasn't leaning back for once. That was amazing. Ended up being the Big Ten Player of the Week this week. And they got it done. I would have taken a split. I'm glad to get two. Now they got Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana at home to finish the month. And they got actually 4 of their next 5 at home. 5 of the next 7, I believe, at home. Yeah. So they could really get on a run here. I mean, the schedule's got to crank up in February through March. But I'm happy with where Matt's got this squad.
Yeah. Oregon's an interesting one. They've had a lot of really close games.
Yeah.
They'd won them, which is probably why they were so heightened up in the rankings and had a great, but I think Illinois and Purdue have both kind of given them a welcome to the Big Ten sort of moment.
Yep. They're not basketball schools. These schools out there, these are football schools. The environments stink.
Yeah.
Except Oregon's environment was way better than Washington's. Washington's was terrible. Is awful. And shout the Purdue fans out there in the Seattle and Portland areas. They showed up pretty well. Which is nice. So, birdie or bogey, hit me with it so I can get my second bogey of the year.
Joe Burrow became the third quarterback ever to throw for 40 touchdowns and not make the playoffs. Can you name the other two players to have done this?
Nope. And I'm throwing this guy out there because I know he threw a lot of touchdowns and his teams were pretty bad while he was there. That's Matt Stafford.
Incorrect. Good guess, though.
Dang it. We're running out of time. Just give it to me. I got nothing.
Reno threw 44 and 86. And then
I wouldn't have guessed he would ever miss the playoffs when they threw that many.
Drew Brees threw 42 in 2012, missed the playoffs.
Hmm. He came across my mind, but didn't pull the trigger. Darn it.
That was a tough one. That was a very tough one. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a great week, everybody.